present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with an advertisement from the Southern Daily Echo, read by Charlotte Green.
Visit Germany's Christmas markets. Three nights accommodation in a twin or double-bedded wash basin.
Thanks to Mrs. Kathy Blythe of Winchester for that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Tony Hawks. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Stephen Norris MP. And before we start round one, here's a notice seen on Worsthorne notice board.
Friends of Worsthorne School present An Evening Down Under with Gordon Haydock, Funeral Director.
Thank you, Mrs. M. Fletcher of Burnley, for spotting that. Francis, your first question. Who made U-turns after one had spoken?
Well, this must be the Prime Minister. Except I don't think he did make a U-turn, because he originally said that they were going to have bills about stalking and paedophiles and all these other things. Then he decided they wouldn't, that they'd leave it to private members. And then a few hours later, he said they would, after all. So it was a sort of double U-turn, going round in circles. Though I heard him on the Today programme saying that, in fact, he was merely using a fast-track procedure. It's a phrase worth remembering when the police next stopped you for trying to do a U-turn in the middle of the M1, say. Well, that's what he's doing. He's driving round and round in circles in the overtaking lane. Not a U-turn at all.
No, I'm just going to say that at the time all this was happening, I was on the radio with a brief that said, tell everybody that it's a jolly good idea to use the private bill procedure.
At the very moment?
Well, actually, to be honest, half an hour afterwards, but that was something that Central Office didn't actually spot. But,
can you say to be honest again? I just love to hear
it's from great.
Well, you were probably on Viva Radio, weren't you?
It was talk radio, where it's possible to sleep and be on at the same time.
This was the debate on the Queen's speech, which saw John Major make two spectacular U-turns. He even overruled Michael Howard, to everyone's amazement, since that's the High Court's job. Events took a farcical turn when Labour's strategy for the debate was found in a Commons photocopier by a Tory MP, so John Major knew exactly what questions were coming up, a privilege normally paid for by Mohammed Al-Fayed. So we give 2 points to Francis and ask Tony, whose Bolshy theory has whom away at home?
All right, well, presumably this would be the story about Boris Yeltsin, I think. Mr. Yegorov, is that his name? Something like that. He's a former chief of staff for Boris Yeltsin. He wrote an article, I think, in Pravda, maintaining that Boris Yeltsin is remote from reality. Presumably that's just a euphemism for pissed all the time. I don't know what it is. And he's saying that no one can get hold of Yeltsin. You know, the only people that can get hold of him are his daughter, Tatiana, who's got a very close link to her. And he's saying that it's very similar to in 1917 in Russia, when the only person that could really get in touch with the rulers was Rasputin. And he's liking Tatiana to Rasputin, which is very bad news. The only good news, I think, from this is the fact that Boney M. could have a follow-up to rah-rah Rasputin called ta-ta Tatiana.
I'm sorry you didn't sing the rest of that. Rah-rah Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine.
That's right. There was a cat who really could... I can't remember what the name was, but it was marvellous, Boney M.
There was a cat who really turned them on, I think.
How tragic that you know that, Simon.
Yes, Yeltsin appears daily on television where he stares blankly, dribbling and saying nothing intelligible. No wonder they're worried in Moscow. They think they've got Anthea Turner. Yeltsin's latest outburst was moved to page 2 in the Russian press after a photographer got a scoop picture of the president injuring his hand as he left a reception. Someone trod on it. So 2 points to you. Stephen, who went to Brighton to launch a Tupperware party?
Ah, this was the jams. This was the great conference. This was Britain 1, Europe 0. And a lot of the disaffected saying that it was about time that Major and, for that matter, Blair and Ashton and anybody else pulled their fingers out and we all got up an atom. You know, walks begin at Calais and all is pretty clear. I think a lot of people are very impressed, particularly Sir James. Rumoured to, I think, have paid £1 million for the privilege of hiring practically every hotel in Brighton and serving thousands of assembled hacks extremely expensive lunches and dinners. So it's the kind of party I think I might join when I retire from politics.
But not before. The referendum party conference at which Sir James Goldsmith urged supporters to use the modern equivalent of Tupperware parties to spread the good word. Of course, Tupperware was eventually eclipsed by dull, soulless plastic, so there's hope for John Major yet. It also has to be burped, so there's hope for President Yeltsin yet. The proposed party's potential recruits will be shown an exciting video. If it arouses passion in their hearts, they're immediately signed up. Sir James may be confusing Tupperware parties with Anne Summers parties. 2 points to Steve Norris. Alan, listen to this.
With heads uncovered, swear we all to bear it onward till we fall. Come Dungeons Dark or Gallows Grim, this song should be our parting hymn. Raise the scarlet standard high, and if it falls we'll live and die. Though cowards flinch and trick a sneer, we'll keep the red flag flying here.
Alan, who's flagged a move to the left with holy orders?
It's the Roman Catholic Church has issued a pamphlet, or an edict, called The Common Good. Not the Labour Party. I don't know why, because not only is the Labour Party common any longer, it isn't any good either. But it's a new Labour, New Testament. And the Roman Catholic Church has taken it upon itself to lay down moral codes. And who better than they? To say that it probably might be a good idea. It's all done very veiled and covertly and in a very respectful and Episcopalian way. But they suggest it might be good if people voted Labour in the next election.
This was a question about election support for the Labour Party from the Catholic Church. Then newfound Labour leanings came to light when priests started singing Psalm number 26. The Lord is my shepherd, but look what a mess she's made of education. At the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Tony 4 and Alan and Stephen 4. We start round two with an item spotted in the Independent.
Police in Brazil are investigating the suspicious death of a goat last month in the town of Pilar. The goat was leading in opinion polls for the local elections.
Thank you, Ralph Smith of Sheffield, for sending us that. Francis, in what state was the Lady for Turning dedicated?
Oh, this is another English monument that's been sold off to the Americans. Rather like London Bridge, which you remember they bought about 30 years ago and reassembled in Arizona or somewhere in the desert. They bought Lady Thatcher. And really? She's been dismantled, brick by brick. put in a packing case and sent over to Kansas, a place called Baldwin City, Kansas. They also have Stanley Baldwin there somewhere. And she's been put back together again as a tourist attraction. As a drive-through Prime Minister, you can spot her. Yes, and with her, they've taken an old chapel from Grantham in which her father used to preach. And she was out there this week opening it and saying that it's symbolic of the great bond between Britain and the United States. This little hut. I don't know what she means by it, but that's what she's been up to.
You must have some Margaret Thatcher stories, Steve.
Well, not that I suspect we'll broadcast.
Why not?
Well, I mean, you know, because I hardly knew her. Because I was in the House of Commons with her for about, however many years it was, a decade or so. But in that time, she was very busy and, frankly, far too busy to see people like me. So I apologise once for treading on her toe in the division lobby. That was an intimate moment, I have to say, but it was about as intimate as we got. And other than that, I remember when she invited me in for a discussion on one occasion. It was half an hour, and after 27 minutes, she asked me what I thought.
The question referred to Lady Thatcher, who rededicated an English chapel that's been rebuilt in Kansas. The Gothic, stone-faced relic was treated with great care because of bats in the belfry. The chapel was regularly used by Lady Thatcher's father just before she was born. which only goes to show that the power of prayer isn't all it's cracked up to be. Afterwards, she regretfully declined an invitation to attend a Wild West exhibition on the grounds that if she wanted to see an incompetent cowboy grappling with cattle, she could have stayed at home and watched Douglas Hogg. Two points to Francis. Tony, how could it be you twice weekly?
Ah, right, it could be you. Well, this is a... They've decided now that they're going to allow the National Lottery to happen twice a week. I think they're going to try and have it on Wednesday. And this has sparked an argument over whether it'll be bad for the moral fibre of the nation. It could be a disaster to have two rubbish television programmes about it a week. I think Virginia Bottomley is defending it by saying that, that families don't spend too much on it. She said that I think the average person spends £2.30 a week on the lottery. Well, I think the average person's being conned if they're spending £2.30 a week on the lottery because the tickets are £1 each. Pointless getting two numbers for 30p and just keeping your fingers but church leaders have said that this could turn Britain into a kind of nation of gamblers, and Mrs. Bottomley said she bet them £500 it wouldn't.
I think it's very good. We should end up with two Ferris wheels for the millennium. I'm looking forward to that. What a wonderful day that will be. You can go up the top of from the top of the Ferris wheel, you can see the complete decay of the rest of the country. All right.
Yes, the question referred to Virginia Bottomley's decision to authorise a second weekly lottery draw. It won't necessarily mean there'll be twice as many millionaires, since Camelot have yet to decide whether to appoint any new directors. In a glitzy, lottery-style presentation, Mrs. Bottomley's announcement was preceded by those words, "Release the balls!" And then she made her speech. The new draw will be shown live on BBC One every Wednesday night. The clairvoyant mystic Meg, however, won't be available. She was convinced it would be on Tuesday. Stephen, a piece of music for you.
Hundreds of thousands of refugees. You put them in the boxes, city of the trees. Cause there are no real people in Milwaukee.
That was Eddie Stanton singing Milton Keynes, or Milton Keynes, We Love You. Who came off his estate to attack estates?
Yes, well, it is pretty clear this one has somehow slipped my slipped my eye.
Not for long.
Mystic Meg is on the way.
But, yes, I thought it might be the...
Well, tell him, share it with the world.
Story of Michael Heseltine's visitors who reconstructed an open cast mine on his front lawn to show the pleasure of that, but I'm pretty clear it's not that.
Michael doesn't live in Milton Keynes.
Give us a clue.
Have you got it, gentlemen?
Milton Keynes.
No, we haven't.
Who came off his who came off his estate to attack estates?
Yeah, you said that, and we don't know.
I said it louder.
I mean, it's a bloke with an estate.
Yes. You were having dinner with his father only last week.
Oh, did he do that? Prince Charles, you see, yes.
Yes, okay, get in there.
I don't know. You can't have it for knowing Prince Charles is Prince Philip's son.
What kind of programme is this?
Prince Charles obviously thinks the state...
He's launched some new campaign against the state cars. He's come out for hatchbacks.
No.
He's done another architectural thing, and he's gone out. Is it 50 years of new towns or something like that?
Oh, he says they're rather good. He rather likes the post-war new towns.
All jumping on the bandwagon now.
He thinks they've been. Yes, my goodness.
Yes. Right answer now.
Thank goodness it's flooded back. It's flooded back. It is indeed HRH, and he has decided that actually new towns are rather a good thing, and that they work. Because they have lots of cycleways and lots of space, and all the vandals can vandalise at their heart's content without anybody hearing them. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that's a good thing. You know, there are millions of people who disagree, and most of them living in new towns, but it's a point of view. You have to say the man has got a point of view.
Prince Charles was marking 50 years of the New Town Movement and presented their Gold Academy Award to Milton Keynes. chiefly for their realistic concrete cows that have now even more realistically been piled up in the field and topped with concrete flames. Alan, why have the Tory party gone crazy in their search for support?
Tory party, having been extremely miffed at the fact that if you are a peer or a madman or locked up, you can't become an MP, have decided to test whether you can actually vote if you're a madman. And I know madman is a bit politically incorrect, but then so is the Conservative Party. they therefore sent a lot of leaflets to Broadmoor, saying any axe murderers would like to come and vote for us. Our arms are always open, especially if you're in a marginal constituency. And if you know any other mad people, please write to them. And remember, it is our policy to return you all to the community as soon as you've done your 3 weeks. Please leave your axes at the gate. I'm assuming, in really Harche Stevens' presence, I'm assuming it was an accident. I don't think they deliberately wrote to Broadmoor. I don't know where they probably wanted to write to Rampton, but they wrote to Broadmoor and said, come and vote for us. We are a broad church. In fact, we are a broad lunatic asylum in the Conservative Party.
The question refers to news that the Conservative Central Office sent letters appealing for support to several criminally insane patients at Broadmoor. An embarrassing mistake, as the inmates have already pledged their allegiance to the referendum party. The inmates' response has not yet been revealed, though it was thought to be a polite refusal. They may be mad, but they're not stupid. And the scores at the end of round two are Alan and Stephen with 7, but Francis and Tony in the lead with 9. And we start round three with a BSI press release.
We welcome the new European condom standard, as its requirements maintain a stiff specification while still allowing flexibility.
Thank you to an anonymous mole at the BSI for that. Francis, who hopes to score with Mrs. during the break?
Oh, I think I can hear you.
Can I just consult Mystic Meg for a moment? This is Gareth Southgate and Stuart Pearce and Chris Waddle. You see how fast he can write everything down? All of whom missed open goals, penalties, and on the strength of this, they're being paid £100,000 each to advertise pizzas. I'm not quite sure why this is. It's also very bad luck on all the people who scored the penalties. Yeah, 96. We get lucky for it. But anyway, they're now going to become incredibly rich advertising Pizza Hut. But perhaps somebody else can explain to you what missed penalties have to do with pizzas.
Right, they've got a new pizza instead of Four Seasons. It's called Ruined the Season Pizza. Next time we play the Germans, you know, the manager will have to get all the players to kind of sign some sort of legal document saying that they won't, you know, miss on purpose in order to get...
Pizza Hut won the famous failures to replace their current ad, which features Damon Hill. He disgraced the good name of English sport by winning something. The original plan was to use film of English tennis players in the Wimbledon finals, but they decided they prefer ads in colour and with sound. Tony, listen to this piece of music. Run and get the fire brigade, get the fire brigade. Tony, who had a burning desire to keep themselves busy?
Yeah, this is a brilliant story about a couple of firemen in Scotland somewhere who'd in some very small little village, and they only got called out about sort of 25 times a year or something. So to make themselves more busy, they would actually go out and start fires themselves. And they were in court, and they confessed to this. They did. They set fire to the primary school and garage and stuff like this. And this is the problem if you have pay based on productivity. This is what I don't know what's happening up there. I presume there are copycat incidents. You know, the hip replacement doctor is going out nicking hips. Policeman is dressing up as a prostitute and soliciting people and then arresting himself.
Exactly right. Yes, and firemen from Fife have begun starting their own blazes. They were bored at being cooped up in the station all day with nothing to do, as there's only so much fun to be had sliding up and down a pole and polishing your helmet. The previous plan to increase their workload backfired when they found it was much harder to coax an old lady's cat up a tree than it was to get it down. At one stage, they were so desperate, they considered torching the local Harvester restaurant, till it occurred to them that no one would bother raising the alarm. Alan, who will be making tracks to get hired guns?
Yes, this is a wonderful story. It's the Ministry of Defence. Has been approached by, I think they're called Crawley. It's a tank leasing company. And it says it's much cheaper to lease a tank than to buy one. And the Ministry of Defence is going to lease these. Then these tanks are going to come back from the Gulf War. And the company's going to say, bloody, it's chewing gum in the ashtray. How many miles have you done on this? And we've got a woman in here. We found a bra in the glove compartment. You passed me a note. You want me to mention the company that's doing it. Dare I ask why you want them?
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I carefully disguise the name of this company, but I am now enjoined by my team to say it's Cowies. Sorry. Is it Cowies?
It is indeed.
Are they a good company?
Well,
should I get my tank from them? Knowingly undersold.
I think, you know, in the tank market, they are known as a bit of a specialist,
to be honest.
They are the
tank hirers of choice.
That's it.
Yes, they're very good. I mean, it's anything you ought to own these tanks, Stephen? Ask your serious political question.
I think
renting them is going to look a bit silly.
I think...
Wouldn't mean any good at Alamein, would it?
Well, I can't...
Rommel had a lot of money,
to,
you know.
Presumably, we want to just wage war at weekends, because you get a cheaper rate.
Well, that's...
bones out of that, Simon. It's the end of round.
And at the end of round three, the scores are Alan and Stephen 11, Francis and Tony still in the lead with 13. Francis, some music for you. It's the end of the world as we know it from REM. What was not so nigh in the end?
This is the bishops again, isn't it? They issued a report about 1,000 years ago. It was an Irish bishop who said the world was going to end on Tuesday last week. And he wasn't around to see whether it came true or not. And if you're listening to the repeat... I want to add that there is a margin of error about 5 days, I think, on this bishop's...
Refers to the end of the world, which was due at 6 p.m. last Tuesday. Armageddon was predicted by a prominent Irish priest who was a well-known prophet of doom. When the deadline passed, everyone breathed a sigh of relief, though Dr. Paisley himself was unavailable for comment. People reacted to the impending apocalypse in many ways. Fergie grabbed the first man she met and jumped into bed with him, so she never actually got to hear about it. Many reported waking up in the morning and staring into a dark, meaningless void. Then they realised they'd accidentally tuned into GMTV. Steve, which thief was taken to the station for taking the station? Come on, you're a former transport minister.
Absolutely.
Always room for one more on top, was your motto?
You must know this. You missed that, I'm glad. Just for that, I'll do the answer for you.
Yes.
Have you ever wondered, when you get on a train and you fancy a swim, and you go down to the swimming car and the pool's not there?
It's such a BR man.
He stole the pool.
It's the BR man, whose house, I think it was right in saying, was the Flying Scotsman. Because Dunromin never used to do the journey up to Edinburgh. And he had just about got away with it when he foolishly ordered an indoor swimming pool. And... even BR didn't have too many of those in stock.
No, they
built
it.
And somebody managed to question it.
They built it. They've got them.
Yeah.
Robert Morton was found guilty of furnishing his home and garden with property stolen from British Rail. He was eventually caught after taking home two sleepers, which left nobody to staff the telephone inquiry lines. British Rail say they've taken immediate steps to make sure this kind of thing can't happen again. They've closed all their maintenance depots. Alan, your last question. Which fruity research has been taking the pith?
Oh, I thought about taking the pith joke myself. I shall have to think about another joke. Are we not having a kilogram?
No, what's a kilogram?
The English standard kilogram is getting heavier, yes. It's got dust on it.
Yep.
Apparently everything is measured. You know, fruit and all that. So, actually, if you wanted
to buy this new pithless orange, which by a system of juggling enzymes is going to appear in Tesco's any day now, and the pithless grapefruit. You couldn't weigh it because the kilogram is all to cock. It weighs more because it's got this dust on it. Anyway, back to the enzymes. I never like to leave an enzyme hanging. Yes, they've developed this thing because everybody is well, has not enough leisure time and can't peel their own oranges. So they've got a self-peeling orange. It gets an enzyme and it takes its coat off. And I suppose they're working on one that eats itself. You go down to Waitrose and say, I'll have half a pound of those, and then you watch it eat itself. And you say, that was good. It's a funny old world, isn't it? I don't suppose it matters if the kilogram is too heavy, if you're not going to buy any oranges because they've all eaten them.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Yes, this is from last Monday's Financial Times, and there's a photograph of Kin Narita, one of Japan's celebrity 104-year-old twins, casting her vote in Nagoya. Kin and her sister Jin have lived through all but one of the country's 41 parliamentary elections. Asked how she voted in this poll, which has been marked by apathy and a record low turnout, she replied, I forget.
Tony.
This is from a Canadian newspaper reporting on Britain. And it says, Jean Carberry of Britain accidentally left her husband's ashes out for garbage pickup because she was in a hurry to go shopping. She has asked the local council for permission to search for his remains. I would recognise him straight away. He was in a green Barnardo's plastic bag.
Steve.
Well, this is one that I did actually see in my own local paper. The Epping, Loughton and Chigwell Independent. Family, friends and famous members of the criminal fraternity mourned the passing of the best-known hoister in Britain this week, shoplifting queen Shirley Pitts from Chigwell, who liked champagne and minks but didn't like paying for them, went to a grave in Lambeth Cemetery. It bore the legend, Gone Shopping, in a two-foot-high floral tribute. Shoplifting Queen Shirley was buried in a blue Zandra Rhodes dress worth £5,000 that she had specially stolen for the occasion.
Aaron.
Well, I brought this one along, Simon, only to demonstrate the wonderful decorousness of American journalism. It's from the International Herald Tribune. It says, police have seized the stock of a Zurich clockmaker after one of his sales representatives demonstrated a new model to several of the city's department stores. Instead of the little hut above the dial from which a cuckoo normally springs when the doors open on the hour, the clock has a little man whose overcoat opens. Just a picture, isn't it?
Thank you all. Now, let's look at the final scores. Alan and Stephen with an admirable 15, but Francis and Tony, this week's winners, with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Northern Echo sent in by Ted Bradham of County Durham.
A rookie policewoman acted as bait to snare a flasher who jumped out completely naked in front of two people on the riverbank in Durham. Chief Inspector Eric Sudd said... to say.